Amen. And then we have a couple, three of them actually, very dear to our hearts that are here this morning. Grant and Linda used to be part of our church family here. And they kind of have Ula to thank for their being together even. So they're here for that particular service. They've been in ministry for a lot of years, currently back in Maryland. My goodness. Mom lives here in Grants Pass, is involved at Jerome Prairie Bible Church. So glad you three are here today. That's great. In thinking about this morning and preparing myself for what I'm doing in officiating this service next time, next hour, I can't get away from kind of bouncing into that here this morning. I've decided to not continue in Philippians today. I would like to read a passage out of 1 Corinthians, just searching my own mind and then the scriptures referring to, I guess, how I see my sister Ula in her life. Now, again, a lot of you don't know, so I'll paint a little bit of a picture here. You're going to get a big picture if you're able to be here with us in the next hour. Delightful, delightful sister. Far from perfect. And she would be the one yelling, amen. Okay? It's just what it is. I spent a little time, in fact, quite a bit of time in 1 Corinthians. And the reason I am here is to look at what I see as the very simplicity of the gospel that ministers to people in real ways. When we talk about Jesus, it goes through somebody's filter. Whatever their background is, whether it's training or just experience, if you speak Jesus, it's going to go in through that filter and it's going to come out how they assimilate it. I know there are times where I personally have tried to share the gospel with somebody, and man, I got so stinking complicated, I later felt like, what did I even say? Not that it wasn't accurate, but I think they missed Jesus in the whole complication of it. Jesus, last Wednesday night, a couple of you shared a little bit about Keith Green's testimony. And I appreciated it because that leads right into this as well. His own personal coming to Jesus was as he was seeking out other religions. And these Eastern religions and gurus, every one of them said something about Jesus. So he decided, maybe I better just check on Jesus. It was brilliant. That's how God got him. It's about Jesus. And each one of these had a Jesus that was a little twisted, or very twisted, very tainted. Ula herself told me this on several occasions, that when she was coming to the Lord, she was reading a thick book that was fairly popular back in the 60s and 70s. It's still around, called Urantia. And she was taking this stuff in till she got to a certain page, and she would tell me the page number, and it said about Jesus, he is not God. She said, that's not true. She shut the book, and I don't know if she burned it or threw it away. That was the last of the Urantia. It was not a book of truth. What is the Jesus that we have believed in? Who is the Jesus that we've believed in? What and who is the Jesus that we present to other people? It goes through somebody's filter. And I believe that's where the Holy Spirit is required. Just to straighten it out and give truth to them. This passage, to me, addresses that. I'm going to read a good section of it. I'm not going to do a whole lot of teaching in it. At times I can't help but say something. But that's my makeup. I have a passion for truth. I really do. And to explain that, I'd like to begin in chapter 1, verse 17. And it is stepping into a context not really a reason for what I am doing to even explain that context. Verse 17, Paul continued his thought, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, that the cross of Christ should be made void." Wow. Let that sink in for just a moment. How wise is our speech? How complicated? Is it doing a favor and service for the gospel, or is it turning somebody the other way? That the cross of Christ would not be made void. For the word of the cross, that word logos, is not just meaning C-R-O-S-S, but all that took place there at that C-R-O-S-S. What it means in its fullness, God's plan before the foundations of the earth, and how it reached you personally and did something miraculous inside, all of that is entailed in that. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. What a feeble idea. What a fantasy. What an old wives' tale. But to us who are being saved, that includes the ones who are and those that are in process. Thank you, Lord, that included me, 2,000 years removed. It is the power of God, the cross, and all that it has to do, because we see that other than through the cross, no one can come to the Father. It is the power of God, Romans 1:16, unto salvation for all who believe, the Jew first and also the Greek. For it is written, quoting Isaiah 29, interesting context that this flows in too, you can look it up. "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise." Oh, they're so wise. "And the cleverness of the clever I will set aside." God is not impressed. Where is the wise man? Look around. Where is the scribe? The wise man, the one that intellectually is going to get it all figured out. Going to come to God, if there is one of those, and, you know, satisfy all of the questions and all of, where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Oh, the one that's well-versed in the scriptures. The one that's well-versed in the teaching. Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? And in our age, with the platform of our internet, the debaters will never end. They're increasing. They themselves are quoting one another, and their case is so solid. And God's saying, really? Why do the nations rage? Where is the debater of this age? Go ahead, stand up to God and debate with him. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of preaching, proclaiming the message, the simple message to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs. Go ahead, Jesus, prove yourself all the way up to the cross. If you are the Son of God, what? Come down. Come down, show us. Prove yourself. The Jews seek for signs, attesting miracles. And there's plenty of people today that are, well, prove it. Show us a sign. The Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. There's the word of the cross. We preach Christ crucified. Can I insert this thought? We don't preach Christ miracles. We're not preaching Christ wisdom. We're preaching Christ crucified. He had miracles and he had wisdom. That's not what saves anybody. Those were only proof that the Father sent him, the Son, to be the Savior of the world. We preach Christ crucified. There's the word of the cross. Simple. To the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Gentiles, foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God, I will have to insert if there is such a thing, the littleness that really doesn't matter in all the things of God, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God, if there is such a thing, the littlest dinky thing about God and all that there is, is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh. Thankfully, it doesn't say there were not any wise. Because we've had some very wise people that have come to know Jesus through the cross. Not many wise. Not many mighty, the important people. Not many noble, kings and queens. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. It's amazing, all of the complication of this supposed way we got here via evolution. And you can look at a simple blade of grass and say, really? How does this work? God has chosen the foolish things to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are. It's like God is putting everything to rest. Romans chapter 1 gets into this detail. Even though they gave themselves over to even worship the creation instead of the creator. Creation itself screams out that there is a creator. Everything, every direction you look. That no man should boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ. Christ who became to us the wisdom from God. Here's the word of the cross and all it means. He became to us the wisdom of God and the righteousness and the sanctification and the redemption. We couldn't get there in any other way. That's the logos of the cross. That just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And for those of you that remember Ula, I can see her saying that. Truly. Boasting in Jesus. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. Didn't have anything planned ahead of time. I just came with the simplicity of the message. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I love it that we have people that we can look at as an example of this right here. I really do. Jesus and the cross. Nothing else matters. Nothing. Now, once we come to know the Lord, now we got a journey ahead of us. And it's our cooperation with the leading of the Holy Spirit within the working of God. We're his project. And we learn more and more and more. And we're never going to come to an end of that learning this side of heaven. That growing. Hallelujah. But the avenue in, Jesus, save me. That was my prayer. I'm a sinner, forgive me. That was my prayer. He met me right there, and it wasn't complicated. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. I don't envision the Apostle Paul like that. You know, there's this strong guy, everybody gets out of his way, and you know, no. Wow. my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And I think the main demonstration there is a changed life. All of the head knowledge that he had prior, when it was summed up in Christ, everything about him changed. The message simplified, and he realized how much of a sinner he was, the chief of sinners, in fact. And yet God showed mercy to him to set an example. If he can be merciful to a guy like that, he can be merciful to you and to me. You can read about that testimony in 1 Timothy chapter 1. This last little statement of this paragraph, my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. I'm going to arm wrestle you with my concepts. And when, and therefore I have another soul. No. But demonstration of the Spirit and of power that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of the Apostle Paul or any man, but your faith resting on the power of God. The one that knows you, the one that meets you, the one that saves you, the one that has you. Yet we do speak wisdom among those that are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. They can't get there by their wisdom. They can't get there. It's a humble faith that submits to God. If they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. I remember Ulla's voice saying that. Things which eye has not seen nor ear has heard, which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. The message is so easy, so simple, yet it's so hard because of our deep pride. I don't want to hear that. What do I have to do on top of that? What do I have to give? I got to do something to add to this. That's what our human brain says, and our human brain is wrong. There's a life to live. Once you're in, and you have the grace of God to live that life. What a deal. And we move forward together. Let me open up for interaction. That's as far as I wanted to read in the text. It seems like a simple, simple little message. What kind of thoughts are there? Ron, go ahead.
What goes through my head is when you say all this other stuff after you accepted Christ, I think those are tools to bring others to the Lord.
Nice.
Rather than you getting more saved and more saved.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm starting a thing on forgiveness that I need to start realizing. And when it started, everything that has shown up, even on my phone, people are saying forgiveness is important. It's just God is just putting it all out there, saying this is what you need to learn. This is what you need. Even today with Michael, this is what I need to learn.
Good.
So God sees what you need, and he puts it in your face till you figure it out.
amen,
I'm leading them through this teaching on forgiveness, what it really is biblically, the depth of it. It involves two aspects biblically. One is letting go, and one is extending grace. If we can get that, boy, we're down the road, you know? And that's what God has done to us. Let go of the sin and extended grace. Pray for us on Monday nights. Some young people that have had quite a bit of stuff in their lives already. They need to get past. Somebody else. Did you have? Yeah.
I'm just, he's really been expressing to me just to show his love in my life. And so, like with this stranger, you know, actually, I should put it out there too that this stranger that I met, his name is Scotty, and apparently, in his trailer, he woke up. Well, he didn't wake up. He slept walk down a mountain. He fell, ended up sleep walk crawling through bramble and brush for hours. And some woman found him on the side of the road, and he's got frostbite all over his feet. And I mean, it's amazing that he's even alive. And you know, so I was really just sharing God's love with him and just talking with him and letting him express everything that he's been through. And so for me, I think that's where God's been leading me, is to just put his love out there, you know, and to be kind to people. And I really think it's making a difference in people's lives. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, Scotty seemed really grateful just to have a person to talk to. Now, he's only at our campsite overnight, but, you know, I gave him some CBD stuff to help with the pain, and, you know, just was really kind, and he was just overjoyed. And I really, I hope that people don't see me, you know, like Miss Kay thinks I'm an angel. No, no, no. God. It's God. It's not me.
Very good.
And that's what I really hope people see, you know, when they look at me. I don't want them to see me.
Exactly.
I want them to see his love. Because all that glory is his. It's not me. Yeah. You know, so, yes.
Thank you, Colleen. Thank you.
And maybe one last thought.
Sure.
Love is evangelistic. Don't worry. The word Jesus will come up, and his name is powerful, but just love.
Nice.
Because he is love.
Oh, yes. He is good at it, too.
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah.
Thank you. We're in it together. For those that are in Jesus, you're not getting in other than through the cross. It's so plain in the scripture. And if you're in, we're in this together, which we've got communion this morning. I'm glad you guys could be here with us today, by the way, all the way from Maryland, because it comes back to the cross. What happened at the cross? His body hung in place of my body. He paid for my sin. His blood was shed to cover, to pay for, to take away my sin. Because my blood, I'd be paying for it for eternity and not pay. He met me there. And so as we eat this bread together, as we drink this cup together, it is proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. That's the word of the cross. That's the word of the cross. Good. Go ahead, David.
Dan, you know that it's easy for me to get lost in the details, sometimes the complexity of what the scriptures teach. And I don't mean to say that I think they're wrong or that I'm wrong. It's the getting lost in it that is wrong. And I hear the talk of love, and I believe it, but love minus Jesus and the cross becomes love of myself and mankind. And we need to be aware of that. To simply extend the hand, the helping hand of love, it's good, but it's not enough. And sometimes I can forget that. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Keep preaching the gospel you're preaching.
Yes.
You too. Thank you. So Cliff and Michael, would you join me up here, and Stefan, if you don't mind? Derek, you've got Caleb to run the board. You want to come up and join me here? Thank you. Yep. Derek has two gluten-free wafers. Let's get somebody else. No. I'm grateful for family. If you prefer the gluten-free or if you require it, please get Derek's attention. And then Michael, as always, I'd like to send you back to the back too. Guys, let's serve this, and we're going to read a little scripture and pray and thank the Lord for it. So let's go ahead and serve here. It's always good, so I'll remind you to just be reflective before the Lord. This passage of Scripture talks about eating the Lord's this bread and cup in a way that is not right, a way that is unworthy in a sense, in a way that is vain in a sense. And in the context, it has to do with your own attitude toward people, especially brothers and sisters in Christ. And if there's some kind of thing that's going on that you need to let go of, then let go of it so that you can understand how much he has let go and express your gratitude. Now, that's me. It's going through my filter of words, but it is considering the body of Christ, us, as you partake of this bread and this cup. So let's just be before the Lord as the men finish this serving. When I use the word worthy, I realize that's a word that could lead us really astray. Because looking in my mirror, it's not about my worthiness. It's about my being honest before the Lord. It's about my being above reproach, willing to forgive, willing to confess and admit where I'm wrong. A willingness. That's what I'm talking about in this, in using that word. Let's thank the Lord for this bread. And Dave, I'm going to ask you to do that. Winchester, if you don't mind.
Father, we are people who are desperate to hear the reminders. Reminders of what this really is all about. Simply bowing before you, confessing again that we need Jesus. We need what you have accomplished through him. Father, we accept him. We accept him as our Savior. Help us to cling to the simplicity of that truth, and at the same time, recognizing all of the complexity that may have gone with that. Thank you for inviting us to be part of your family. To be a people that you have said, you have proclaimed, we are children of yours. Help us, Father, to accept that role and willingly bow the knee to you. And thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for this remembrance.
And the scripture that we often read 1 Corinthians 11, and when he had given thanks, he broke that bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."